Now, it's not quite a month since we woke up one Sunday morning to the news and the video footage showing a rogue hippo which had gone for a stroll down the streets of Grassy Park. I bet there were a few people in Cape Town who sort of double-checked that footage and asked themselves, exactly how much did I have to drink last night? But thankfully, that hippo was herded back into Rondeflaer Nature Reserve before anyone was injured, animal or human. And of course, it's been the stuff of comedy gold ever since. But I've been curious to know more about the hippo family that it was straying away from, shall we say. I wondered if hippos experience sibling rivalry or problem with their in-laws. Was that hippo just a born wanderer, or was there more to that jaunt than we first thought there was? And what is a herd of hippos doing living so close to the urban edge? To answer those questions, to tell us a little bit more about the story of the hippos of Rondeflaer, I've invited Julia Wood to join us today, Manager for Biodiversity and Environmental Management with the City of Cape Town. Julia, lovely to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us.
Good afternoon to you and your listeners.
I'm talking about hippo herds or families, but I think those aren't the right terms. What is the proper collective noun for a cluster of related hippos, Julia?
It's actually a hippo pod. I often also by mistake call them herds, but they're actually a hippo pod.
A pod.
And we're incredibly lucky to have a hippo pod right on our doorstep at Rondeflaer section of the False Bay Nature Reserve.
You know, once upon a time, we would have had many such pods. Julia, one can easily imagine pods of hippos living in the flays and waterways of Cape Town in centuries before significant human development happened here. They would have been plentiful back in those days, weren't they?
There were many. In fact, the Cape Flats was mainly a wetland area, and there were hippo all over it. And in fact, that is why Zekeflay is called Zekeflay, yeah, obviously after the hippo. So, and in fact, when we brought the hippo, well, when the city brought the hippo back in 1981 to Rondeflaer, there were actually no hippos in the Western Cape. There are now, thankfully, you know, there are many other game reserves who have hippo as well. So the Rondeflaer pod is not the only hippo pod in the Western Cape.
The fact, though, that they had to be deliberately brought back in tells us that something happened in the interim. Julia, that something was human encroachment, but it would have also been human hunting, not so.
Yes. So about 300 years ago, they were hunted to extinction in the Cape Flats and then around the Western Cape. And it was somebody's their idea to bring a hippo back to Rondeflaer because they amazing ecosystem engineers. You know, they move through it. They eat large quantities of vegetation between 30 to 40 kilograms a day.
Sure.
And at that stage, there was a grass, a paspalum. It's actually exotic. That was sort of choking the flay, and of course they brought the hippo in, and it completely solved the problem. So that was in 1981, where they brought two bulls in, and then shortly afterwards, a couple of years later in 1983, they brought two females in, and therefore this, we've got about seven or eight of them, and they're actually a breeding pod of hippo. But then we obviously have to manage them. Rondeflaer is very small; it's right in the urban area. So obviously, when the babies grow up, they fight with a dominant male, and naturally in nature they would have moved off, and gone to find another herd or their own family. But of course, we, you know, that's very constrained. Yeah. So then we do need to relocate them, and we've relocated many across the Western Cape, up right into Natal, and the hippo that went out of the reserve the other night,
yeah,
is one of the animals we do need to remove.
So that's to do with the males in the pod as they grow older, starting to challenge the dominance of the chief hippo, if you like, and a natural part of their growing up process. But Julia, as you say, a limited space for them to move away as they would in an unencroached setting. They'd simply move off and start their own hippo pod in another pond. I'm interested to know whether they've ever got as far as Zekeflay again. As you mentioned, the reason Zekeflay is called Zekeflay is that once upon a time it was home to hippos. Have you ever seen anybody lumbering away from Rondeflaer towards Zekeflay, or is that passage too interrupted by urban development to make that part possible?
Well, actually, Rhonda Flay and Zigu Flay and the wastewater treatment works are all part of the, and an area in Pelican Park are all part of the False Bay Nature Reserve. That's also a Ramsar site, so it's an internationally proclaimed site as well. And it has an amazing birding area in Strandfontein. It's the fifth most important one in South Africa. So it's an amazing area, and there is a continual land link to Zigu Flay. And I don't know if anybody remembers, I think it was in the early... late 90s, early 2000s, and then there was another incident in the last 20 years where HIPAA did get into Zika Flay and grazed on the banks of residents' gardens.
Oh my gosh.
And chased the rose around. They were quickly able to catch the hippo and move them, and the one was actually moved up to Natal. And there's actually a children's book written about it. I actually can't remember the name, but we have obviously made an electric fence between the strand where they can get out and into Zika Flay, so they cannot get into Zika Flay anymore. So that will not be a possibility.
You know, you've jogged a memory in the back of my head of my early days reporting in Cape Town of that wandering hippo incident. I think it was the early 2000s, and I think I interviewed somebody about the children's book that followed. So we're going to have to try and look up the name of that book. I wonder if anybody listening has a copy, or perhaps was one of the residents of Zeku Flay who found their grass being nibbled by a very unusual visitor those days. Just for anybody who's come in late to the conversation, Julia Wood is with us on the line, Manager for Biodiversity and Environmental Management with the City of Cape Town. And as you can probably hear from the background noise, Julia's kindly pulled over to chat to us today in the midst of her work, so we really appreciate it. Julia, that wandering male who went off in his jaunt in Grassy Park the other day, you've mentioned he is one of those who's going to need to be moved. What will that process entail? Do you want to give us a sense of what will happen when, and do you know yet where he will be sent to?
Yes and no, because obviously this is it's an incredibly tricky operation. We have done this a couple of times before. We obviously need to get him to a boma. This one we might dart. Okay. But he will be put in a crate, and we will actually physically drive him up. It looks as though he's going up into the Northern Cape, into an area. We can't obviously divulge where he's going at the moment because we haven't completely sorted out the agreement yet, but we have agreements with a number of people which will take the hippo, and then we are very careful to follow up and make sure that that the hippo does join up with the pod. I mean, a very exciting one was recently we moved a hippo to a game farm in Mossel Bay. It was a female, and it actually mated with the resident male, and they produced an offspring. So there's been some really nice where we and this hippo population has actually seeded sort of hippo populations across the Western Cape. So it's very, very exciting. But I just also wanted to make a thing recognizing we really have amazing animal plants. We live in one of the most biodiverse cities in the world. And this whole thing with HIPAA just makes us realize how important, you know, we have animals on our doorstep. Above Gordon's Bay, we've got Cape Leopard. You know, we've got porcupine, caracal. We're incredibly lucky to have, you know, all these animals all over. And it's really, really important that we look after them.
Absolutely. Julia, what is the overall conservation status of hippos? I know that they're endemic to the African continent. Are they at risk either in South Africa or overall?
They're vulnerable. Okay. So they're endemic to Africa. So they're not going to go extinct tomorrow, but because they're vulnerable, they are and they're limited, and obviously their distribution area has reduced massively. Yeah. So they are threatened, but they're not obviously critically endangered yet. Thank goodness.
Let's keep it that way. Absolutely. Somebody on our WhatsApp line saying, was that wandering hippo not Huberta? That was many, many decades ago. Huberta the hippo, I think, wandered away from KwaZulu-Natal, but are we going back, I think, a century in her case? I wonder if anybody remembers more recently. I've got a Very strange message, but something in it rings true for me, suggesting that the hippo that went walkabout in the early 2000s was nicknamed Rhino. And that is vaguely ringing a bell in my news reporter's head that I think, if I remember the story correctly, some local children spotted it and mistook it for a rhino, and the name stuck.
It was actually called, it could have been called Rhino but in some sections of the community, but it was called Houdini.
Houdini, yes, Houdini the hippo, that's right.
And the woman that wrote the book was Nikki Daly. That's just kind of come to me. So it's actually Houdini by Nikki Daly. But the one thing I just wanted to quickly end off with is that we're incredibly lucky that we have these animals, and we have an island actually in Rondeflay where we have environmental education, where people can actually come and stay on the island and actually experience the hippo in the night. And that has been unbelievable, where people who traditionally would never get to experience a hippo can write on their doorsteps, you know, actually experience it. So, and early in the morning or late in the evening, people must come down to Rondeflay, come to False Bay, because you might well see it. Many people have seen it. I've often seen it there. It is the most amazing experience.
Julia Wood, thank you so much for sharing a bit of that insight with us this afternoon. We really appreciate your time and appreciate your pulling over to take that interview this afternoon. Julia Wood speaking to us as a representative of Biodiversity and Environmental Management with City of Cape Town. And I think very important that reminder of how precious a thing this is to have within our city limits, right there on the edge of our urban edge, to have a healthy hippo population. Houdini the escaping hippo, thank you. And of course, the late Nikki Daly, he was such a wonderful writer and illustrator. We had him on the show many times, and he passed away just a couple of months ago, I'm sad to say. But thank you for the reminder about that book. I wonder if anybody listening still has a copy that they've held onto about the story of the wandering hippo. Bodo in Stellenbosch writing in to say, I remember that hippo that got out in the early 2000s. It stayed in the sewerage works for some time. We were lucky enough to fish there, and every so often he would pop up to investigate what we were doing. Another message, thank you filling in the blanks on Huberta, the wandering hippopotamus. I'm right, we're going back almost a century for that original story. November 1928, Huberta left her waterhole in the St. Lucia estuary in Zululand, and over the next 3 years travelled 1,600 kilometres to the Eastern Cape. She now stands in the Ekhonse Museum. Thank you very much for filling in the blanks there. It was a story that I kind of had tucked away from childhood in the back of my mind, and I appreciate your filling in the detail that I couldn't quite get to. And then I love this one, talking about what you call a family of hippos. Dorothy has written in to say, I'm something of a collector of collective nouns, and actually to use a herd for hippos is fine. There's several different words, including crash, pod, herd or dale, but Dorothy says her absolute favourite is a bloat of hippos. I feel like I belong to a bloat of hippos at the moment. I can really relate to that one. Dorothy, thank you. That's a rather amusing take. So a pod of hippos, a crash of hippos. That one also makes a lot of sense to me. When I was up in Mozambique a year or two ago, we did the most extraordinary twilight kayak trip through the hippo trails in the estuary just south of, and now it escapes me where I was, part of the Bazaruto Reserve. There is an estuary where the long channels that have been, that were sort of blundered through by hippos as they chased their prey or ran around and moved around, those canals were carved out between the reed beds of the estuary. The hippos are long gone. They were all unfortunately poached for food during the Civil War, but you can still kayak down those hippo trails and watch the sunset over the reeds, and then as you kayak back, the fireflies come out and flash around you as you paddle back. It's the most extraordinary experience. Absolutely, absolutely beautiful. So thank you very much again, Julia, for that insight. I hope you've learned something today about how lucky we are to have our own hippo population. Let's hope it sticks to Rondeflay and doesn't go gallivanting around Grassy Park again anytime soon. But we'll keep you posted on news of the relocation of that young male.